Derby Spirit has pinched the Oaks by four lengths. But a champion becomes a legend. McCarty Deaver has won it.
Yes, Championship Monday here on .com and the Den Mondays. I'm Roger Aldridge, and joining me, of course, my stablemate from Wolf Den, Richard Irvin. Rich, what a magical weekend of racing we had once again.
It was a big one, wasn't it? Yeah, some huge performances. Maybe some performances that'll go a long way into the spring. Maybe some cups contenders and things like that, Rog.
Yeah, that's right. Look, it's our job to pump up racing. Don't worry about that. But we don't have to do a great deal of work when we have racing the standard that we had on the weekend in two states. So, with that in mind, let's get stuck into the Straight Six.
The Straight Six.
As you mentioned, Rich, did we see a couple of Cups contenders, potentially Caulfield or even Melbourne Cup winners at the weekend? We often lament how the markets are so reactive of a good performance of a Saturday, catapulting a horse into favouritism for a feature, but we saw two stunning performances in separate staying races. Let's start with Alakantz in the Chairman's in Sydney. This is often a good Sydney Cup lead, but could be a lead to bigger things in Melbourne in spring. Didn't get control of the race. And then Tim Clark just took her to the front more than 1,000 out. And she absolutely dictated, had the speed. She knew she had the speed that could sustain her rivals. They were gone a long way out. This was fast, strong, stunning stuff, Rich.
Yeah, it was a procession, wasn't it? I think after the race, they put up $4.20 for the Sydney Cup, which is this Saturday. Smashed her into about $2.50. I think she settled down at about $2.70 now. She looks very hard to beat in the Sydney
Cup. You know,
Cup.
I hate futures, Rich, but I would have taken that $4.
Yeah, well, occasionally they absolutely do. They do put up the wrong price. So you've always got to be watching out. I thought to myself too that seemed a pretty big price. But look, hopefully she wins on Saturday for Team Waterhouse Bot, and then they will be very excited about the spring. One of my good friends is a shareholder in Alakantz as well, so I'm very excited for him. And
what percentage?
Oh, I don't know, probably 5 or 10%. He's pretty heavy hitter.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. He also got a share in Royal Patronage as well, so he's having a very good autumn.
Good luck to him.
But she's right at the top of the markets for both the Caulfield Cup and Melbourne Cup. You'd imagine that Gain Adrian will put a circle around the Melbourne Cup like all trainers do and work back from there, and you would imagine that the Caulfield Cup as well will be for her. So bring on this Saturday, a great mare. What else did we see there on Saturday, Rog?
Well, let's go to one of the 2 3-year-old filly staying stars. We saw Treasure the Moment beat her own sex in the Vinery on Tuesday. Aliana bypassed that, took on the boys in the Derby and absolutely destroyed them. She looks as if she'll eat up more ground than this, and that's an exciting prospect for the spring. Now, those two fillies could clash in the Oaks on Saturday, but history suggests it's unlikely. Chris Waller alluded to the fact that probably going to put her away, nurse her into the spring. And there's probably no guarantee she does tackle the Cups, given the patient way he treats his younger horses. So it will leave us wanting more, a bit like the original Office. They only did 12 episodes and we always wanted more.
So what would he do with her then? Would he put her towards a Cox Plate? She's obviously a four-year-old, so your options are a little bit limited. Caulfield Cup probably seems the go, but just on the actual win, it was a huge betting go, $4 into about $2.15 on the World Tote. One of the biggest goes you'll see in a big race like the Derby in a long time. Perfect ride by D Lane. Just did everything you needed to do. Was very focused. Got her in the right positions all the way through. If she did back up in the Oaks against Treasure at the Moment, it would be the biggest tussle since Miss Finland and Tuesday Joy back, I think it was 2006. And in the race too, I thought Firm Agreement ran on okay, but it's pretty hard to make a case for any of them because they got absolutely annihilated by Aliana.
Yes, it really was something to behold. And I think it wasn't that her victory wasn't expected because of that betting move, but the way she did it, that was it was akin to Via Sustainer in the Cox Plate last year. The run of the day poll, I think you put up on the
team. No, it was more what should Aliana be aimed at in the spring. And he, quite interesting.
But she was a moral ring run of the day as well.
Yeah, yeah. You've stolen my thunder there later in the show. But Caulfield Cup, 43%. Yeah, interesting.
I couldn't see him stretching her out to a Melbourne Cup trip as a four-year-old, just given, you know, his track record. But yeah, Cox Plate, Caulfield Cup, I could definitely see that.
And happen. I mean, she could even run the Golden Eagle. There is no way she will because Waller's got better. But she could. You know, she's brilliant enough to win a Golden Eagle, and that's why I put that in that poll just to articulate that could happen as well. Let's move on, Rog.
Yeah, well, obviously, we saw some interesting races on Tuesday. And Vauban, of course, he's going into the Queen Elizabeth. Now, this is the Tancred. And Dubai Honor wins this race. Now, he's got three starts, three wins at Australia Dubai Honor. absolute star. And then Duke DeCesar, the Caulfield Cup winner, running in second. But Vauban was a really nice run in third. And he's certainly one I want to follow into the Queen Elizabeth. I assume that he's going there. I assume that Dubai Honor's going there. I haven't heard anything to the contrary. There was
they're definitely both going there.
Dubai Honor would go home, obviously not. So that Queen Elizabeth is lining up as a really, really good race and not a benefit for VS Athena at all.
No. I saw Adrian Bott at the sales during the week and quickly chatted with him about Vauban. Asked him why not Sydney Cup, and he said they don't want to put 3,200 metres in his legs twice in the 1 year. So put him in the Queen Elizabeth. His target was always the Tankard, which he ran second in slightly questionable ride by Tim Clark. But we move on from that, and the Queen Elizabeth is a pretty hot race. I reckon VS Athena will get out to about evens. And I also think that if she can win that and win it pretty well, she really cements herself as one of the great horses in Australian history, really modern history. I mean,
well, she also, if she wins that, she equals the record for the most Group 1 wins in a season in Australia with Winx, which would be her seventh, I think. So whatever it is, it's equal to Winx of 2019, as we mentioned on the show a couple of weeks ago. So yeah, it's going to be a fascinating race and a real highlight of day two of the championships. And there are many highlights on day two of the championships, as we'll get to when we look ahead to Saturday. Let's go back to Saturday prior. Let's head down south to Caulfield, Rich, because, well, we saw a couple of exciting prospects. Mm. And in the two-year-old feature, the Reduced Choice, Scenic Point went out a dominant favourite, raced like a baby learning its way, but was still far too good for what was behind her, including Aleppo Pine, who had looked good in what seems a decent Todman in Sydney the other week. So I think all signs are that Scenic Point's a pretty special horse. Pretty special horse.
Yeah, the Hayes boys have cuddled her along. I think she'll probably go to the paddock now. They said that they'll probably think of doing it. Then I heard that she pulled a shoe in the run and did a little bit of damage. So you think that would all but confirm it. Of course, they could bring her up to Sydney for the Percy Sox or something like that. I haven't heard that that's what's going to happen. But they see her as a 1,000 guineas horse, the Group 1 1,000 guineas at the end of the Spring Carnival down there in Melbourne. So, nice
type. 1,000 guineas doesn't often come up too strong. I think we might be...
and that's probably what the Hayes boys are thinking.
Yeah, but it might be a decent addition come next spring. But obviously, there's a lot of water to go under the bridge before then. There was another emerging, maybe not emerging star, but certainly a very, very promising horse. And Emily and David Brown have got a few nice ones at the moment. We saw McGaw win the showdown the other week. Well, we've got a likely three-year-old staying type too coming out of that stable in Statuario. Another dominant favourite who didn't let the punters down.
Yep, $18,000 purchase. Obviously, the English sales are on at the moment. Got horses selling for 2.7 million, 3 million, huge, huge numbers. 10, I think, sold for a million or more yesterday. This guy cost 18,000. He looks a really nice progressive staying type. On to the South Australian Derby, it seems, which is in 4 weeks' time. Perfect setup for him. Nice horse. Look forward to seeing how he goes in the Derby.
Yeah, they're making money off value runners with $18,000 purchase there. McGaw didn't cost much either. And, of course, that goes out and wins a $1 million race. And you'd think big things come for Eaton in the spring, too, as a three-year-old. So well done to Emily and David Brown. A very small stable, and they're doing very nicely for themselves down there at Pakenham. Another man who's doing very nicely is Matt Laurie. Well, we haven't seen a dominant two-year-old emerge all autumn, but we've seen a host of likely types. And Vin Rock was well fancied to beat the likes of Woten and Rivellino coming out of the Golden Slipper. He had a run at 1,400 before. They hadn't. Not that I think that was a factor here, but it's another huge win for Matt Laurie. And congrats to Mytho, who was very, very, very quick to point out on text that he bred this horse down at Rosemont Stud.
Did he really? That's nice. Yeah,
he did. So Vin Rock goes on and wins this. And you would think $300,000 purchase, that wasn't exactly cheap. Now worth over 20 mil as a stallion. So... yeah, he's the first horse since Full on Aces in 1981, before I was born. I think it was about when you were born, Rich.
79 was me, yeah.
Okay, so first horse since you were two to complete the VRC size and ATC size.
Oh, probably. Right, that's interesting. It's also the first I Am Invincible two-year-old to win a Group 1. That is an incredible stat.
There you go.
No one is more airborne than Matt Laurie. Seems like a lovely bloke.
Oh, Bjorn Baker and Matt Laurie are going toe for toe at the moment. But Bjorn's got a few more on the ground.
Air Bjorn. I'm going to go and watch Treasure of the Moment and Vin Rock do some track work either tomorrow morning or Wednesday morning. Matt Laurie's going to confirm with me, so that'll be really, really cool.
Very nice guy, Matt Laurie. So,
well, that's right. I've never met him. Nice he seems man. Very laid yeah. back. And he said that Vin Rock will go into the Champagne Stakes if pulls up well. Collett on State Visit said that, so State Visit was big run, loomed up like it could possibly win. And Jason Collett, the jockey, thought that State Visit didn't quite know that Vin Rock was on the inside there and coming at him. And if he had known, he might have extended even further and possibly won. My connections at Coolmore said that he's likely to spell, but it's hard to know with Waller. He's very hard to read with that kind of stuff. They said they were going to spell Woten after.
Well, on that, that was it didn't have much luck in running Woten, and maybe, you know, could have won the race. But as Moods pointed out on our other podcast, that was almost certainly an ownership decision with Coolmore looking to get the two-year-old Group One and
sure.
and therefore bringing out Ryan Moore to ride. Waller would certainly have put him away if
okay,
it was his
fair point.
So that was an ownership decision for sure.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Buffalo was the black booker out of the race, really extended late. Looks Champagne Stakes over 1600 metres sets up really well for him. Interesting to see if he goes on. And Nick Noonan was very keen on Federalist, was listening to the Noonan boys yesterday morning, as I always do. He thought Federalist was one to keep an eye on and could do some really big things in the spring. Really well bred. I'm Invincible out of Arcadia Queen is Federalist.
Yeah, that's the Noonan brothers. The Noonan brothers are more appointment listening or appointment watching either than the
Leyland brothers.
I keep
refreshing my phone until it comes up.
they're bigger than the Leyland brothers in the 80s, the Noons, the way they're going at the moment. Hey, we spoke about Air Bjorn. You can't keep Air Bjorn out of calculations when it comes to a Group 1 Saturday at this point. And Steffi Magnetica was the only Group 1 winner on Saturday who had previously won one prior. And, of course, the Stradbroke champ pounced on them in a great go on the Doncaster. I think there was about a length and a half separating the first 11 across the line. Got the spoils. Another exciting, if not typical, edition of the great race. I was on linebacker. I reckon he should have won. Touch unlucky, but take nothing away from the winner. Steffi was fantastic. As 10 others.
Steffi's about to go past Royal Patronage here and win. They went so slow early on that it basically gave no chance to anything from the back. So you got to really put a lot of merit on the runs of NCAP and linebacker, the one that you said they made a huge amount of ground up. Steffi could back up into the Queen of the Turf this Saturday. Same distance, same track. Wait for age. Well, not wait for age, but only have to take on the mares. She'd be well in that. Obviously, you've got Fangirl and some other nice horses in that. So we'll wait to see if she goes into that. Interesting comment from Jamie Carr, who rode Another Will, said that she thought Another Will might have lost a bit of confidence in the All-Star Mile because he nearly came down. Remember, he like clipped the heels of the horse in front. I think it might have been Mr. Brightside. And she said that she hopes that he just needed to have that run to get his confidence back.
Confidence in horses is a really interesting thing, but really I don't deny it. But the fact that they can, you know, some are non-winners, some just have a will to win, and some lose confidence and gain confidence. And it's almost... You can't say it's 100% clear by the way they run, but it certainly does appear as if that is the case. And that just fascinates me because they are brilliant animals, racehorses. And the fact that they think in that similar way to what humans do fascinates me.
Mm. Was Briassa brilliant?
Briassa was stunning. Well found in the market and certainly looked like the emerging sprinting star. And he proved that. That was a great go to the line. He showed a will to win. 7 wins, 9 career starts now, and he's got his Group 1. All eyes will be on the Everest, where he will be a big show. Bruce McAvaney quickly said after the race, oh, you'd think he'd be favourite for the Everest now. And then about 5 minutes later, he remembered about
Ka-ying.
There's a horse Ka-ying. In Hong Kong called Ka-ying Rising, who, silly me, I forgot about that. I love Bruce.
It's not a bad impersonation. Trill Mitt likes your impersonation.
Really emotional Michael Hawks after the race too. It meant a lot to him. He said he saw this boy's potential from very early on. So it was just reward. And it was weird seeing another trainer cry. In fact, there was a few because Chris Waller always cries. Bjorn reckons it was hay fever, but he was crying after Steffi won. And then Michael Hawks too. So it was a real, I mean, it may have been a dry day in Sydney, but not in the eyes of the trainers, Rich.
This is good. I've got a bit of news. So Briassa, I haven't been able to completely confirm if he will go on to the All Age, but I've noticed he's firm from about $4 into $3. So I presume that that's positive and he probably... Have you heard if he's going to run?
I have not.
If Team Hawks will run him in the All Age, okay, which is in 2 weeks' time. Overpass and Headwall look like they'll go on to the Quokka. Well, they definitely will go on to the Quokka because...
Overpass loves running in WA.
He does. Well, Overpass is $2.50 favourite for the Quokka. Headwall's been confirmed in the Unibet slot for the Quokka.
Okay.
A few of the boys in the den here were saying they're unsure about Headwall because Ascot doesn't often suit backmarkers who run on and Headwall profiles like that. Anyway, he's in the race. Good luck to them. The three-year-olds, Growing Empire, Switzerland, Traffic Warden. I know Growing Empire was not in this race, but Switzerland and Traffic Warden weren't. At the start of the autumn, which often happens, there was big booms on the malls. They're going to take everything before them. It just hasn't happened. They haven't really fired a shot. I'm not sure if we'll see Growing Empire again. I'd imagine that's probably the last time we see Switzerland.
I don't know whether there was big booms, Rich. I mean, there was a little bit of
Switzerland
excitement.
Switzerland was coming off that $2.40 favourite in the Lightning.
Yes. Switzerland, yes. The others, I think there were still question marks out of. And I think now what's been proven is that 3-year-old male crop isn't as good as probably what we thought it was 6 months ago. Three-year-old females, on the other hand, are superstars. Yeah.
But it's amazing, growing empire, like, you remember when he was favourite for the Manukato and nearly won it, you wouldn't have been able to believe that he's never going to win a Group 1. And you don't, like, he hasn't. He hasn't won a Group 1 yet, and maybe he never will.
I was going to say, they're hard to win, but then there is way too many Group 1s, and sometimes this is the argument we sometimes have, like, oh, was he a champion? Brightside's won, you know, 9 Group 1s. Is he an all-time champion? I love Brightside, but I don't have him on that top echelon just because there's just so many Group 1s now. There's so many options for these horses to win Group 1s. And so, yes, it's not easy to win them, but it's certainly easier than it used to be.
Sure. Ethan Brown was on Jimmy Starr in the TJ and has said that he's crying out for 1,400 metres. I think everyone thinks
a blind monkey could see that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And Sunshine in Paris and Magic Time will both go on to the all-age. They're a little bit disappointing, both those horses. Let's bring the all-age market up, because it's a pretty deep field. You've got Briasa up the top there. Jimmy Starr, 450. Whew. Broadsiding, I reckon, is going to be in there too. I saw a piece today. J-Mac trialled broadsiding at Warwick Farm, I think, this morning. And they reckon that not going to run the Queen Elizabeth, going to run in the all-age over 1,400 metres, which I find interesting. I think he's got no hope in that race.
Yeah. Anyway. I'll keep my powder dry until a lot closer and we get a final field. On that one, Rich, but Briasa, $3 favourite, so probably he's going to go there, you'd think. Mm. Hey, there was some pretty handy racing for some pretty handy prize money over in the Middle East at the weekend. I'm surprised we got this into the show, because I was certain we would still be waiting for the photo finish to be developed by the time we recorded today. This was as close as it gets, and J-Mac and the Romantic Warrior got nutted, although you would need good eyesight to see a margin. This last two starts, he's been pipped late, out and out champion nonetheless, and he is a champion. But imagine if he got the nod in both his last two starts. Look at that.
Yeah. I mean, there's a clear margin too.
Well, J-Mac was on radio this morning. He goes, was dead eight, wasn't it? Like, and it just gives me a bit of PTSD about Red Cadeau and Juna Den back in the Melbourne Cup, because I had 50s or 60s about Red Cadeau. So I was eagerly anticipating that photo, which went the other way. But that is as close as it gets if there is a margin. And of course, the other feature, Rich, is worth, what, 20 million Australian?
20 million Australian, 12 million US, yeah, the Dubai World Cup. Here's Hit Show over the top, paid 170-1 on the Australian tote.
Is that a whirlpool?
Forever Young, the nemesis of J-Mac and Romantic Warrior in Riyadh when they're in Saudi Arabia. It was dominant favourite. I think it was $1.30, $1.40 or something, and just couldn't get into the race at the crucial times and ended up running on for third. That's the Dubai World Cup night, a wrap.
And that is the Straight Six. Let's head to the Steward Speed Round.
Steward's Room Speed Round.
All right, Steward Speed Round, pretty quick one. Okay, at Caulfield, a fine for Sleigh Gordray, $500 for failed to ride the mount out in race two. Reece McLeod cops a severe reprimand in race five for careless riding. Few suspensions. Luke Curry got 8 meetings out of race one. Hannah Edgley got 8 meetings careless riding out of race three. And Celine Gordray, 12 meetings out of race eight. So dirty day for Celine. And you've got Scenic Point, got a wound, needs a vet clearance. So obviously still won the race. Race seven, Certain Rice bled both nostrils, cardiac arrhythmia, 3 month suspension, vet clearance needed. And in race 10, Street of Dreams, cardiac arrhythmia, 3 month suspension, vet clearance needed. Very clean meeting at Randwick, a couple of small fines, no horse issues, one suspension, and that was Daniel Moore on Just Folk, who copped 10 days for careless riding. Let's head now to Cook the Book.
Cook the Book.
All right, let's get stuck into Cook the Book. Of course, joining us as always, Tom Hackett from Ladbrokes and from Wolfden Kingsley Bartholomew. Tommy, as always, we'll start with you. Poison Chalice in the Easter Cup, one of the biggest firms I've seen in quite a while. I think it opened $9, started $2.80. Did the weight of money come with Ladbrokes, or was it largely with the other bookies, or are you thinking it was across the board?
Oh, it was definitely across the board, Rog, but it's like all the sharp punters in Australia just aligned on Poison Chalice, so it did shorten up in a big way. We kept it reasonably safe. As soon as that move did start, it did start fairly early in the week. We kept it pretty safe. So it was a losing result for us of just over 120,000, so certainly not catastrophic if it did get the job done. But it looked the winner at one stage, but a little bit weak in the finish, I'd say.
Kings, you're one of the sharps that Tommy was talking about. Do you think it's a great testament to the Saturday set on racing.com that so many people tuned in and then launched into Poison Chalice? I think it was 550 when you did that Saturday set. I imagine you probably took a bigger price early. Ultimately, you lost, but you would have been just about counting the cash at the 300.
Yeah, the races were changing shape a lot at Caulfield there, and I was never counting the cash, but did look in a good spot. But the fence was a little bit inferior, and there was, you know, down the outside, a lot was happening there at Caulfield. It's very hard to lead there. But no, my form comes through on a Thursday morning. I'm busy doing the Saturday set, so when I do the set, I haven't placed any bets. I average around $5, I think, which was obviously very happy come jump time. But you can't eat value, and I did my cash.
I was just about to say, a wise person told me you can't eat odds. And for years, I had no bloody idea what that meant. Now I certainly do. Tommy, with so many sharps, I'm poison jealous. I'm guessing that the fact Toranzino won the race, that would have been a fat result for your blokes.
Yeah, it was a good result, Toranzino. It's a winning result of just shy of $200,000. So, no, it was a good result, but it was, it wasn't going to be as bad, poison chalice, as we probably thought at one stage.
Kings, did you find Aliana in the AGC Derby? That was a similar go to the one we saw for Poison Chalice, albeit a successful one.
Absolutely, yeah. I was super keen on Aliana. I think I averaged around 330, 320 I took for Aliana, and wasn't she dominant? What a great ride by D-Lane as well. And she was smashed in betting, I think, started around that 230 mark, which is another great advert for the Saturday set, which I think she's around $2 and might have got a bit carried away. But as it turned out, she was, you know, if you repriced her, you'd have her about twos on the way she won. And she won the race by jumping so well and just getting into that forward position. And then he popped off one off the fence. It was a classic run and a classic ride.
One of those races I think I'll watch over again. Like I reckon I've watched last year's Cox Plate with Versustina many, many times. And that was just something to behold on the weekend. Tom, was that a strip out for Ladbrokes, or was the fact that Willie Dot was well backed early, did that minimise the damage?
Willie Dot was another losing result, but Aliana was still a very bad result. Losing result of over $400,000 for the book. And yet she was just well backed all week and very popular in the multis as well. So we're essentially seeing during this carnival today in Sydney that if the short price favourites and the well backed favourites are basically consistently getting the job done, and Aliana was one of them, and she looks like a very exciting filly to follow going forward.
I'll tell you one bet I did lose at the weekend. I bet one of my colleagues at work. I said, you watch this New Zealand horse will win this race, and the race caller will say, will he do it? Yes, he will. And ultimately, he never got a chance, and so I lost there as well. Kings, the Doncaster looked a raffle from the outset. Did you fancy any of the runners there? It was a blanket finish in the end, and there was a few hard luck stories.
It was a lottery. I was against a few in the market there, and one of them that I was against was a massive run, Royal Patronage, which sat three wide on speed. And look, the winner with 50 to go before Steffi came out of the pack and nutted the patronage on the line. But I was on Firestorm. I took $10. Firestorm was my only bet in the race. I was going to be on Swift Falcon, but he got scratched. And the way he ran in race four, I don't think he would have got the cash, but you never know. I wish he did run in the Donny, because I would have lost less on him than I did in race four. But no, I looked a lottery and it turned out that way. With what a great finish it was, though.
I think he would have won the Donny. Tom, I imagine Steffi Magnetica winning that race, or as Moods likes to call her, Steffi Magnifica. I imagine that was a pretty nice result. And also, how did things fare for you in the TJ?
It was a good result, Steffi Magnetica. Winning result of just shy of 150,000. The two best backed with us were Tom Kidden, who was the worst result, almost a $500,000 loser. Gringotts was a losing result of around that $250,000 mark. But that close finish in the end between Steffi Magnetica and Royal Patronage was a big shift for us, because Royal Patronage was actually our best result in the race, would have been a winning result of over $700,000. And I personally was on Royal Patronage as well. So a little bit disappointed there, but good to see Steffi Magnetica back to her best. It's a rare double, the Stradbroke Doncaster double. She's a very, very good mare. And Bjorn Baker, he just continues to fire on all cylinders.
Given the fact that Royal Patronage's victory, it was the last start or two starts ago, was such a massive result. If he'd got up there, you would have named a wing after him at Ladbrokes, wouldn't you?
Yeah, definitely. Becoming a just a Royal Patronage is one of those horses just punters don't seem to gravitate yep. to. It seems every time it is a big result for the book. So it'd be an interesting one to follow going forward. In terms of the TJ Smith, this is a very messy betting race. There was no real sustained money for any horse in the race. There was moves for quite a few of them. The money was split right across the field, really. So Jolly Star was our worst result in the race, but only a losing result of 187,000. And Briasa, who I thought was a horse that punters might come for, didn't really eventuate. It was some support, but ended up being a winning result of 177,000. So it was, I think punters are just a bit unsure with the sprinting ranks at the moment. They do feel like a very even bunch. So it'll be interesting to see now if Briasa can take that next step forward and sort of stamp himself as the new superstar in the sprinting ranks.
That surprised me a little bit, Tommy, because there was plenty around who did fancy Briasa. Overall, Caulfield, Randwick, bookies or punters, who got the chocolates?
Punters definitely got the money in Sydney. Once again, we've already touched on Aliana, but in the stays, raised the chairman's quality earlier in the day. Alicants was truckloaded, losing result of over $625,000, if you don't mind. It's a horse that just keeps flying. Progressive stayer working its way through the ranks, and the punters keep finding it. So that, along with Aliana, Vinrock was another losing result for the book as well. Punters once again finished in front in Sydney. Caulfield, small win for the book, nothing crazy there. It was a pretty even day, really. Sort of no big swings either way when it came to Caulfield. There was every race was sort of either a small win for the book or a small win for the punters.
Kings, it's turning into one of the battles of the order, the bookie versus punter. It's a tight run race. As for you, plays, early plays, day two of the championships, anything you like in the likely acceptances?
I had a look through. Geez, it looks like a favourites day to me. I won't know till my form comes through on Thursday, but I did have a look through. Like Treasure of the Moment looks very hard to beat. Alicants, which we spoke about in the Sydney Cup, gets in with 52, looks awfully hard to beat. Autumn Glow, Fangirl was the run of the race a couple of weeks ago where she sat three wide when the fence was on fire. She looks hard to beat. So, and I haven't even mentioned Via Sestina, who looks awfully hard to beat as well. So if I was playing right now, I don't take many multis, but I'd be putting all those five in. I don't know what it comes to, but it'd have to be pretty good odds. And as I said about 3 weeks ago, I think the bookies are in for a rough trot, which they are sort of hitting the wall a little bit with. And the reason for that is these favourites are fit now and they're getting to the right races, the races that they've been set for. And I think they're going to cop it again on Saturday.
Well, here's hoping we'll find out right here on .com and the Den next Monday when we check in yet again for Cook the Book. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Sneak peek.
All right, let's take a look at this week. It's a quiet one here in Melbourne because it's actually, well, it's not even in Melbourne. It's in Bendigo, the racing. It's Gold Mile Day up at Bendigo, the nursery of champions, as Rick McIntosh calls it. I could give you my Rick McIntosh too if you want me.
Yeah, do that.
No, I'm not going to. I love Rick. Gold Mile Caulfield Guineas, the Guineas Day at Bendigo. In Sydney, of course, it's day two of the championships. We've got the Queen Elizabeth, as we spoke about, Via Sestina, Dubai Honor. I reckon you throw in a couple of others. I don't know. Yeah, I think Vauban's well in the mix there too. Light Infantry Man, Deny Knowledge. We still got to find out, Rich, if Pride of Jenny's going to run there.
And yes, you can also run in the Queen of the Turf, the Mayor's Race over 1600, so they'll make a decision. Probably run in the Queen Elizabeth. Just put in the Queen Elizabeth, light her up, and just create havoc.
There's always intrigue when she runs, and I think there's going to be great intrigue in this race, regardless of whether she runs this time, but it would add that extra element. Yep. So throw in Sydney Cup. As we mentioned, Alicants, I think, will win if she runs. Duke Decessa will probably go to that too. Circle of Fire, Cleveland Warmonger, they're not really going to be, I wouldn't think, that much in the mix. The Australian Oaks, it's highly unlikely Aliana's going to run there. So Treasure in the Moment. Look, it's a test for her. I don't think it's going to be a laydown mazir, but, you got the New Zealand Oaks Quinella of Lycalusa.
Which is trained by Waller too. So Waller could have put in Belle Dattel, the Adrian Knox runner, but Adrian Knox winner in. Don't think he's going to because they'll keep that. That'll be his Queensland Oaks filly. But instead he's got Lycalusa, which won the New Zealand Oaks, as his runner because she's just moved to his stable. So I've never seen someone so airborne with fillies and mares.
Yeah, oh, it's phenomenal. And that is the most exciting thing about racing at the moment is the three-year-old fillies. The Queen of the Turf, Fangirl Tissue, Lazura, who of course has got form around Lady Shenandoah and then came out and won last start. Pride of Jenny, potentially, like you said.
Amelia's Jewel, she's in there.
Yeah. she needs to win a group. I love Amelia's Jewel, but she shits me.
As mentioned,
my daughter's Amelia and she shits me too sometimes, but I love her. I love her nonetheless. Another great edition. Well, we thought so anyway, of .com and the Den Mondays. You be the judge. Leave a comment. Of course, unless you didn't like it, then don't. But Rich, always good to be with you on a Monday, and I look forward to dissecting another brilliant day of racing in Bendigo and Randwick next Monday.
Yep, I always enjoy it. A couple of things before I sign off. We're doing a mates mode pot for the Golden Easter Egg, the biggest greyhound race of the year. The Ladbrokes Golden Easter Egg night. So we'll do that with Troy Little and Jason Campbell. We had a pot on Saturday for day one of the championships. $50 buy-in. We only returned $40, which is a shame. But as always, we ran second everywhere. Anyway, everyone was pretty happy with the day because I got most of their money back and we were a big chance. It just didn't go our way.
Were all cashed up from the one before. So losing $10 after getting $270 back to Tom.
We've got a bit of goodwill remaining.
You've got a buffer there.
That's it for another week. Thank you, everyone. See you soon.
You win some, you lose more. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.